The Defense Department has a lot to work on when it comes to military personnel. A new study by the Bipartisan Policy Center gives DOD 39 recommendations on personnel, ranging from child care to TRICARE. Former Senator Jim Talent and Blue Star Family CEO Kathy Roth Duquette sat down with Federal News Radio Scott Massioni to talk about the study. They begin their discussion with the report's criticisms of the military's up-or-out system. That system forces service members to continually move higher in rank or leave the military.
Every system is perfectly designed to get the outcome it gets. And systems are also designed to resist their changing. So I think legislation is not only necessary, but it's also helpful to get the system to understand that it needs to change. Sometimes that impetus has to come from the outside. Right now, promotion boards are not globally considering the needs of the Department of Defense and the future warfighting. They're narrowly focused on what's the particular MOS that this person was trained for, and compared to other people in the MOS, how prepared are they to do the mission of the next rank? Well, that may or may not be what we want to use this particular person for in the future for the DOD. It's outdated, and it needs to change, but it's going to need that outside impetus to get us the force that we want.
You know, I think as the higher level leaders of the department become more and more used on a personal level to the potential of technology, this could change. Because, I mean, to be fair to the department, you know, if you're setting something up 40 years ago and you're trying to manage an organization with this many people, you've got to keep it simple. I mean, you can't try and individualize it too much or you'll never get it done. Anybody who's ever taught school and knows the difficulty moving 30 kids to the lunchroom and back to the classroom. Well, when you've got, in those days, 3 million people that you're trying. So, but technology enables a lot of this. And I think the more comfortable they become with the idea, that's why we propose a pilot project on the individualized assignment thing. Now, look, we can do this without messing everything up. And I think the more comfortable they get with that, the more they'll do. Just didn't get anything. What is achievable and how do we get from here to there?
I wanted to ask about military families. How important is spousal employment and where is DOD at this point on that?
One suggestion, and this may be one of the few things I actually brought to this process that Kathy didn't. I mean, we've talked a lot about state certifications that keep spouses from practicing their profession or their vocation. So, you know, if I was still there, I would just strongly consider legislation saying if it's a spouse of active duty deployed military and they are moved from one state to another, the state has to accept the certification of the other state. You would put it in the defense bill, but you would statutorily supersede state certification laws and say there has to be reciprocity. You know, if I've got a teaching student from New Hampshire, or I should pick Virginia, and I get moved to San Diego or something like that, California has to accept it. Because it's essential to Congress's ability to prepare for the defense of the nation, and therefore, and look, they got certified someplace. You're not requiring them to accept somebody who doesn't have a professional certification. You're saying for this small pool of people, you have to take the risk that by accepting the Virginia certification, they won't have taken one course you thought was necessary in California. And who knows how many people this would help? I mean, you probably do know.
A huge number of people. Such an exciting idea. No, I love that. Yeah, so we have 21% unemployed, meaning actively searching for work in the last 4 weeks, which is a pretty narrow band compared to 3% civilian counterparts, so 7 times the unemployment. Then we have 29% who aren't looking because they've been discouraged, you know, or they're living in a place that's so remote there's no work for them. But even of those who are working, the minority who do work, half of those, 60% of those, are working below the level they've been trained. This cripples our families because military people are middle-class people. And middle-class people in America need 2 incomes to meet their family needs. And there are solutions. One of the things that I love this solution. Another incredible solution would be to allow military spouses to be on equal footing with veterans on getting federal jobs and installations. 78% of military spouses who seek GS jobs do not get them. And the main reason is because veteran preference is trumping their qualifications. So an unqualified veteran will get the job over a qualified spouse, but then you're pitting one veteran against another. And so to change that would be fantastic. Also, there are workforce development opportunities to professionally look at placing these educated and qualified workers in positions the same way we do with Native Americans and formerly incarcerated and have even done with veterans. So there are solutions to this problem. They don't cause us to spend more money, taxpayer money, and they would so improve things for the force.
And Kathy knows better than I do because, of course, she's interacting. She was a person in the situation. I am a married man, and I just have to believe that if you're considering signing up or retaining, staying in for another hitch, and your spouse is legitimately just really depressed about the fact that in my case it would be a she can't practice her profession, that's got to be a very powerful deterrent to staying in.
Right.
So if they even saw that the department was really making an effort to help, so you could say, well, maybe they're doing this and this and this, and so 6 months from now it might be better.
Yeah.
Other than that, this has got to be a major issue, even apart from the financial side of it, just the relationship side of it. Particularly if she knows you might be sent off on your own, so here she's not able to develop her own career, and then you're going to be gone anyway for another 9 months someplace. It's got to be a powerful incentive to leave.
It's the number one reason why otherwise promotable people leave the military. And it affects recruiting, too, because our survey shows that spouses who feel that being associated with the military has hurt their career, by a large majority, do not recommend military service. Whereas spouses who feel the military has been neutral or helped their career, 75% recommend military service.
Right.
The problem is 80% think it's hurt them.
So,
we need to change that.
If you have to implement one of these policies, just one, which would be the number one?
To tell you honestly, when we asked the our members what the number one thing is that they wanted from DOD, and this was a write-in, so we didn't even make suggestions, the runaway winner was more help with child care. Two-thirds do not have child care to meet their needs. And that's something we addressed in the report. So I would probably have to say that. That's also a precondition for working. Number two thing would be spouse employment assistance.
As a short-term practical impact, I would say what Kathy just said. Longer term, I really think this recommendation to require that 18-year-olds of both sexes sign up for the Selective Service and fill out the more extensive information and take the military aptitude test could be of greater long-term significance, because if the department uses that correctly, particularly with the recruiting reforms that we've suggested, I think you may see wide swathes of young people actually consider military service who right now aren't 100 miles close to it, because they don't know anything about it. They've never really come in contact with it. So and this should be relatively easy to do, I would think.
If I could say, what I just said are Band-Aids on the existing system. They don't change the system. And I agree. I think that I'm such a huge fan of, the universal selective service with ASVAB. And then that allowing for mid-career people in and out would really engage so many more Americans and allow people to change. Control their careers. So those two are much more transformational. And if I had to choose between the two, for the long-term good, I would choose those other two.